everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 Recap here on Reality TV Rehab Ups. I am Mike Bloom, but I am joined, as always, by two individuals that I have just funneled $10,000 each into their respective PayPal accounts, tax notwithstanding. First, she was out last week, but we're thrilled to welcome her back into our lives. Allie Lasher, how's it going?
I hope you boys brought your sunglasses, because the library is most certainly open.
Oh.
I have a lot to say.
Oh, boy. All right. I've heard you have a few bones to pick with last week's podcast, enough to build an entire skeleton, perhaps. But we'll talk about that in just a few minutes as I welcome on someone who has always been on the podcast, but we're always welcome to have back him and all of his family members. Brent Wolgamon, how are you?
Sup, bro? How you doing?
You're doing like a Tatiana of deep voice.
Well, I was at the beginning of the runway. Rue actually said to Carson, like, you know, sup, bro. And he's like, sup, bro. And he tried to talk like a straight boy, but it really didn't work at all.
Well, at least he can try. A boy can try, can't he? So we are talking about what has turned out to be, as announced last week, the penultimate episode of this season. We went down from a top five to a top four in a very emotional episode, covering the whole spectrum. We saw tears, we saw happiness, we saw anger, probably on behalf of more of the fans than the actual queens themselves, but it really has run the gamut. But before we get into the episode proper, Allie, I want to hear your reactions. You were not with us last week as we dove into the fish tank. Give us your thoughts about either the episode or the podcast that we did with AJ Mass.
Yeah, first of all, a huge shout out to AJ Mass. Thank you so much for filling in. It was awesome. I was just in the beginning thinking to myself, like, how amazing it is to be listening to three men talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean that with all sincerity. I think it really shows how much RuPaul's Drag Race has like transcended its little niche audience from season one to now. That said, don't come for my boy Marcus Lemonis. Do not come for him. I love Marcus Lemonis, and I thought that I'm getting to that.
Okay.
I thought that I know, I understand where you guys are coming from when you said like, it's not fun when the judge takes it too seriously, like who doesn't like really get RuPaul's Drag Race. I thought that, and I do agree with you a lot of the times when that does happen, it's annoying. In this case, I thought the comedy came from him like talking about like a plastic tea set and taking it like very seriously, or like Katya showing him an empty spray bottle of nothing. And he's like, this isn't going to sell. Like, that was hysterical to me. Like, I thought that was the humor of it. And I love Marcus Lemonis, so I'm biased. Speaking of bias, I will say, Brent, with your, I know you're not Allie when AJ came for Todrick. I have not been defending Todrick recently. Let's not paint me as the champion for Todrick with his recent performances.
Well, I'm sorry, but when like we started this season, you were practically...
When we started this season...
You were wet. I mean, you were just beyond yourself. Like, oh my God, it's Todrick Hall. Like,
I agree.
Can't wait.
And I mean, Allie, I don't want to bring up the conversation we had offline where you said you were buying orchestra tickets to go see Todrick the first night he's in kinky boots, but I guess we're bringing this to the surface now.
That's not at all what happened. I'm in Michigan. I wish I could go see Todrick in kinky boots. I am a big fan of Todrick's. I do agree that this is not his, like you said, even Mike, like maybe he's just like much better in a scripted position, like on Broadway or when he's like writing his own YouTube videos. I don't think that this has been a really fruitful endeavor for him. The last thing I want to say is just like, thank God for Brent, because when you were talking about Katya's video and look and all of that, I was just like literally sitting on my bed like, yes, 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 yes. I thought Katya's commercial was hysterical.
Yeah.
So that's just where I'm at. I listened to it this morning, so it's very fresh, very
immediate reactions.
Yeah,
I remember that in the cold Mike fall of Michigan.
Mike and AJ were not living for it as much as I were. They liked it, but they weren't living for it, and I was living for it. I really love what Katya's been doing this season.
And just, I will say, from Todrick's perspective, I said this earlier to you guys, that there is a link that surfaced of Todrick lip syncing to a song from Kinky Boots. And I think by far that's the most interesting thing Todrick has done all season. And that isn't even on the season itself.
Yeah, I mean, like Todrick is, he's like practically a drag queen. I mean, he's an entertainer. I mean, he's somebody who should be on stage, not on the damn judges panel. That's what I got to say about that.
This is also my last kind of reaction more to the episode as a whole, which is, I think, going to take us right into this episode, is like I was watching this just absolutely dumbfounded that Roxy did not go home last week. I mean, that was just like the biggest tragedy of the season until this episode.
Yeah, I think that the running theme of this season, at least, like, we'll skip the Revenge of the Queens, but it seems like the past few episodes, the MO has been like, I can't believe this happened. Why is Roxy still here? And then something even worse happens the next episode. I'll agree with that. We might have, I don't want to use the term rock bottom, but I think we definitely have reached like the most outrageous part of the season when it comes to this Queens eliminate each other twist. But that is at the end of what is a very girthy episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. And it does segue perfect into the aftermath of Tatiana's elimination. Now, I know we talked last week about Alaska's pretty BS reasoning about how, you know, one of these queens does fantastically in the competition and the other one lent me this top. And it seems like Alaska is really doubling down on it. Brent, what did you think about Alaska bringing that reasoning into this episode? And how do you think it sort of falls in line with Alaska's general edit this episode?
Well, boy, those are two big questions and they're not entirely related. I'm not sure what to think about Alaska's reasoning. I mean, I think that, you know, we heard AJ Mass on the podcast last week say that if Katya came out and had the lipstick of doom that said Roxy on it, then he would say, maybe you can put on your tinfoil hat. Well, bitch, she had the lipstick of doom and it was for Roxy. So get on your tinfoil hat because obviously, There's something. You even heard RuPaul talk about in the walkthrough. Like, is there some Alaska Talks thing going on? Do you think you're being targeted for that? I mean, like, this seems like so forced, and I don't entirely know what's going on. I want to believe that the queens have their best motives at heart, but I kind of feel like that's being mixed with some friendship and some relationships they have outside of the show itself proper. So I think that's a little confusing, number one. And number two, as far as the editing of the show, I'm not really sure what the show wants. I mean, it's been showing Alaska in such a good light, and it all started, the downturn started last week when she said that thing at the end and it didn't, you know, the fans were expecting Roxy to be eliminated and then Tatiana was eliminated. And we were like, what the F? And then move on to this week and you saw her bratty behavior by the end of the episode. So I don't know what the edit is telling us other than either one, A, she's not the winner, or B, she is the winner, but they have to show a little vulnerability before you get your win because that's what people like to see. So it's one or the other.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about that later. That I think you can make an argument either way, that either they're sinking Katya with this edit or that they're sort of tying it into the general hero's journey or
Alaska.
Like there's like an underdog story where, you know, in the second act, they undergo a huge fall from grace, but at the last act, they're able to build their way back up and eventually take home the win. I'm sure we'll talk later about which of those categories it might fall into. Something else that was really interesting of this whole pre-credits segment was the fact that we've seen a lot of reality TV between the three of us. There always seems to be that stereotypical type of confessional at the beginning of an episode, or even in something like Survivor after a challenge, where someone says, "This, you know, I'm feeling good, I'm doing well, this thing will definitely not happen." By the end of the episode, that thing does end up happening. Allie, we saw it a little bit here with Alaska saying, "I feel comfortable in my position." She's strutting around the workroom in a big red aerial wig. How did you think this tied into the rest of the episode? Watching it in real time, what did you think about it upon first seeing it?
Yeah, not only did this Alaska quote kind of trigger the same things you're talking about, but right before that we got Detox like bitching about how she's been killing it and she's tired of being safe. So I thought those two quotes back to back kind of went hand in hand to just kind of predict how the rest of this episode was going to go. I really did think that Alaska was going to go home based almost on this quote alone. And I also think that this, I mean, we'll talk about it, but because of this, I really thought this was the beginning of the coronation of Katya for the win here. But I am extremely sensitive to Detox's quote here about how she's tired of being safe, given what I said 2 weeks ago, that she has zero chance to win the game. So a lot of things, a lot of mixed emotions coming out of this. I really did think we were going to see Alaska go home, though.
Yeah, Detox is going to be Allie's Spencer Bledsoe by the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, do you still think that Detox has 0% chance to win the game?
I just don't think I'm seeing. I don't know if I'm subscribing too much to the edgic. Let's just get really Survivor-y. I don't know. I don't know that I'm seeing Detox's winning story from these episodes we've seen.
Okay.
I would say this is probably the best episode to lend to that case. And we can definitely talk about, you know, is it better if your top or your bottom has a better edit? But it seems like Detox has, in my opinion, at least kind of come into her status as a front runner, at least this episode. I pointed that confessional out as well, Allie, but I remember that Ginger had a very similar confessional back in season 3, right in the episode when she went home. So it's interesting to see that sort of similar type of thing happen with two different queens and to have two completely opposite outcomes come of it. So let's go into Rue's visit into the workroom. We have our typical makeover challenge, which we've seen in a bunch of seasons. In fact, a bunch of these queens have competed in it. But this time there is a twist in that it's also combined with a family visit. Mothers and sisters are in the workroom. Brent, what did you think getting to see the sisters and mothers behind these queens?
Well, you would think that these queens had been on Survivor on an island for 38 days or something, because the way they all reacted. I mean, you know, they just got there like a week and a half ago. I mean, it's not like they haven't seen these people or talked to them, you know, but, you know, they're in the competition. They're in the game. So maybe they're not thinking about family. I will say that I kind of just gave in to what the show wanted me to feel, which is, you know, a big ball of happiness and, you know, puppies and clouds and rainbows. I mean, it's great to see family coming together with drag queens and, you know, people that are not always taken seriously in life or respected in life. So you got to see the people who were the support systems for many of these queens, and it was great to see.
Mm-hmm. Allie, we got a question from Mike Block that says, which is the more emotional family visit, Survivor or RuPaul's Drag Race? Granted, we have one RuPaul's Drag Race comparison as compared to, you know, 30 plus Survivor seasons. But how did this rank for you amongst the other reality family visits that we've seen? A challenge Bloodlines being the exception.
Yeah, I do think I did my voicemails recap with Rob about Survivor on a family visit of Second Chances, and I had a lot to say, both positive and negative.
Oh, really? I've never done a Survivor voicemails recap, actually. Just throwing that out there, Rob.
Put
just
that on the atmosphere.
I will say that Jeremy and Val's family visit when Val was pregnant was like one of my favorite family visits.
Right.
I will say that Alyssa's journey with her sister through this episode has officially committed me as a lifelong fan of Alyssa Edwards. No matter what.
Yay!
I mean, I think this was...
She's stuck by Todrick, but she's made her way into the Alyssa clubhouse.
Yay!
I will say, this was just really profound to hear the story of, you know, the following day, the day of the runway, is going to be the 1 year anniversary that they both lost their moms, that Alyssa's personality largely comes from her mother, and that Alyssa shut out her family after her mom's death, that she hadn't seen her sister since her funeral. I mean, this was just like completely heart-wrenching, completely beautiful. I was like, felt privileged to be seeing it. I think this trumps 99% of the family visits on Survivor, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
I completely agree. And again, that might be controversial because Survivor family visits have produced things like the dead grandma lie, but that's not emotional so much as it is lull worthy. But the interesting thing about this show, and we sort of get it in our mirror talk segments that we have every season, are that a lot of queens have rather tumultuous pasts and specifically tumultuous relationships with their family. I mean, we've had several instances, Darian Lake, Ginger Minj, where like at the finale, they'll have their estranged family members speak out to them, and that they've, you know, Roxy herself has had probably some of the biggest family issues I've ever seen of any reality TV personality. And so to sort of see those things come to the surface, it really does bring about those emotions. I totally agree, Brent, with obviously the passage of time is not the same as a show like Survivor. I think Katya even said on her recap this week that she'd talked to her mom like 3 weeks ago, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But because there were such significant events, like aside from Alyssa and her sister, you have Detox and her sister, who last week was the anniversary of her father's death. And so obviously there was a lot of emotion going on, and a lot of mixed feelings came with this that really, I think, brought the tears. I mean, I'm a big softy, and I was getting extremely emotional over the course of this episode. But man, there's a lot of fault to take with this episode. But I think one of them being, hey, Alyssa, Alyssa Edwards memorializing the 1 year anniversary of her mother's death. You know, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You get to go in spite of it being, you know, one of the most biggest, saddest days of your life. So that was tough to see packaged on top of the entire episode. But I personally really enjoyed having these people come in. And it's great to see, you know, who's behind the queens, who helped raise them, and how their personalities may either diverge or be really similar. I think there was a lot more of the latter. It was fun to see, like, Katya's mom, for instance, and where Katya got a lot of qualities from, personally speaking.
Yeah, I really did like seeing the support systems, like I said. The one that really stuck with me the most was Alaska's mom, like, when Alaska was like, I won 4 challenges, and she was like, oh my God, Justin! And I'm like, oh my, it just hit me for a second, like, you know, the mom or the sisters, or, you know, whoever is their support system, look at these queens in a different way than the world. You know, we look at them as entertainers, we look at them as drag queens, but, you know, Alaska's mom looks at him like Justin, and it really struck me. It was just really, really heartbreaking, you know, heartwarming. I don't know. I had so many emotions throughout this episode. I wasn't sure.
There's a lot going on with your heart.
I wasn't sure how to classify some of them. Like, I'm like, how do I feel about this? I'm not sure, but I know it brings something out of me.
Mm-hmm. Brent, talk to me a little bit about the makeover challenge. Again, this has a little bit of a twist to it, but we've seen essentially queens makeover strangers almost every season. Is this a type of challenge that you enjoy watching?
I do enjoy watching it because you get to get other personalities. You know, look, by the end here, we're sort of beating the horse. We know all these queens. This is even doubly oppressive because we've seen these queens for 2 seasons now. We know all their tricks. Like, we were just talking about this last week with AJ, that we knew all of the commercials before they even came out, because this, of course, those queens were going to pick those things. So it was nice to see other people get some new stuff on the editing tape and hear what other people in their lives thought about these queens, what their weaknesses are, what they like about them, what their history is. And I always like seeing, you know, the thing that comes up every time is, you know, if you can have a strong family resemblance. I mean, I'm going to hear those words in my sleep. A strong family resemblance is what's going to win this challenge. And I think it showed.
Allie, if you had to choose one family member to do this challenge, which we should mention, the Maxi Challenge is take your mother or your sister and make them over to show your true drag blood connection as opposed to your drag water connection, I guess. That should be another fun season of RuPaul's Drag Race, blood versus water. But if you had to pick one family member to come onto the show and participate in this challenge, who would it be?
That's the easiest question I've ever been asked in my life, not even on a podcast, just in general. My grandma, who my mom says, like, all of my interest in these kinds of things has, like, skipped a generation and comes directly from my grandma. I told her about RuPaul's Drag Race, and her reaction was, there's a show about drag queens and you waited this long to tell me about it. We took her to Kinky Boots maybe a year ago, and she was living for it. Like, we would kill this challenge. We would be voguing so hard. It wouldn't be good, but the heart would be there.
Right. I would probably have to do it with my sister, because I think my mom would just be, like, too embarrassed to go out there. Number one, to be, like, all made up, because my mom doesn't like makeup. And number two, because, like, my mom would just be embarrassed by me. So I would have to take my sister, definitely. But my sister and I would kill it. We would have a great time. I always, like, dressed up my sister when I was, you know, because I'm the older brother. And so I would always dress her up because I couldn't dress up myself. And I would always, like, paint her room different colors because I got bored. And, you know, you know, I couldn't paint my room pink and purple, so I had to go paint her room pink and purple. You know, I know how to swing it, Mike.
Yeah, I would actually take, like, the exact opposite for me. I would choose my mom above my sister because my sister would be completely embarrassed. I would say my family is, like, pretty full of extroverts, and she might be the only introvert that kind of sticks out from the rest of the family. My mom would, she's a lot goofier than she is, like, wry and sardonic. So I think she would be living for the Vogue, and I'm sure we could come up with something. Granted, I mean, the moment I would be on RuPaul's Drag Race is probably the moment when hell freezes over, just because that would be a horrible mixture of factors. But I would still like to do it with my mom. I think
it would be great to have you on RuPaul's Drag Race. And we talked about this before, and you asked me this question. I don't know if there's ever been another straight cross-dresser on RuPaul's Drag Race before. So, like, you could be the first, Mike. You could do it. You could become a drag queen and entertain all these people. This could be your way into the big time.
Well, I learned how to tuck many weeks ago. I feel like that was the first step in this arduous staircase to get to the top of the $100,000 in lifetime supply of Anastasia Beverly Hills. So I think I'm slowly but surely on the way there. Let's talk a little bit about these pairs. We touched upon it before about these family members. Allie, were there any visitors that came as a big highlight to you?
Oh, geez. I agree. I think Katya's mom was hysterical, like in just true Katya fashion. Like when Katya says, I'm thinking sexy Russian trophy bride and her peasant mom. And the mom's like, who am I?
I love when Rue approached her and he's like, oh, that lace front wig makes it look like it's coming right out of your head. And she's like, it's not. That's definitely, again, one of those times where you can see exactly where Katya gets her sense of humor from.
I do also love that we just got like the closure to the Roxy being left at a bus stop like story, with now meeting Roxy's grandmother, who Roxy calls mom. And I think one of my favorite moments this season is when she comes out in like a Roxy t-shirt and is like, Team Roxy coming out. Like, that was just really sweet.
That was really sweet. When you said, like, you know, which one of the people that came onto the show were you most or least impressed by? I'm like, well, the person I was least impressed by was Anastasia Soiree. Like,
let me show you how to do your brows.
Oh my God. What was this? Was this a bit? And then, like, it just didn't work. And then they decided, well, we have to show her because she came on, but let's show her for like 10 seconds. I mean, she was literally there and out in 17 seconds. I looked on my DVR. Like, what the F? Like, this was so weird.
I think it's the equivalent of if you've ever seen the Wayne's World movie, when Noah's Arcade has to insist on doing the interview and they make fun of him the entire time. I feel like that's kind of what this was. It was like really short and really oddly put in the middle of the episode too. Like, Rue just kind of came back in the middle to be like, P.S. you're voguing. P.P.S. Anastasia Soiree is going to kind of wander in here and start doing two people's brows and that's it.
Right? Two people. And they're all like 10 of them lined up. And then the other thing I was thinking was like, you know, they win $100,000 and a package from Anastasia Beverly Hills. I'm like, is this the Anastasia? Is this the bitch? Like, is she the one who's giving you the makeup? I'm like, I don't know. Tell me.
Allie, were you able to glean anything from the 17 second tutorial from Anastasia Soiree?
I will say brows are becoming like a really important makeup trend. A lot of my friends have been talking about it, and I thought she did an amazing job. It was boring and pointless, but the brow work, you know, we cannot come for the brow work. It was amazing. I'm sorry.
I know. I did like that before and after. I saw it specifically with Tabitha's brows, Alyssa's sister, where like she built out the much fuller one on the right and you can see the thinner one on the left. I thought that was impressive. It was just sort of random.
It was definitely random. 100%.
I don't know what the point was too, because, you know, all of these women knew they were going to come onto a show. So, you know, all of them before they came out to do Drag Race, were already like, well, I've got to look good for TV. So they already had their brows done. So I think like Detox doesn't even have a brow, for God's sake. So, I mean, come on.
All right, when you're pasting the eyebrows on, Detox, you have to use my Anastasia Soiree fake eyebrow set.
In neon yellow.
Yes, in neon yellow, just for you, doll. If she wins, maybe they'll get an entire eyebrow line named after her. So, you know, we actually just talked a few minutes ago about how we know a lot about these queens. Here's something that I personally didn't know about these queens. Did you guys know that Alaska had what seems to be a drug problem after the events of season 5?
I mean, I'm not surprised by it. In fact, the whole time that I was watching it, and, you know, far be it for me to judge as a recovering addict of 12 years. Thank you very much. But I'm like, well, so are you still kind of doing that a little bit? Because, like, I mean, it seems like she's having a good time on Twitter. So, I mean, like, I don't know. And I'm not one to throw shade at people that want to have fun. Look, I am someone who could not use drugs and use it casually. Like, I became an addict and that's why I can't use them anymore. There are many, 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 many people in the world who can use drugs and have a good time and drink and get drunk and whatever. And they don't become addicts or alcoholics. And that's great for them. So maybe she's like that. But it seemed like from what she was telling us that she was more of the former, that she had a problem. And I'm like, well, I, you know, if you had a problem and you licked it, then good for you. On the other hand, from what I'm seeing, as far as, like, you know, it's been a year since they taped this show, for God's sake. It still seems like she's out there partying and having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Allie, the Alaska is your winner pick. And again, this was a very weird edit for her this episode. How do you think this tied into what we saw of her in general for this episode? I mean, it's its own roller coaster on its own. Would you say this is like the high point of her edit this episode?
You know, I didn't actually think much of it in terms of the rest of the episode. I thought it was just kind of like, it was a lot of what I was thinking of with the family visit in general is a lot of times, I think Brent has talked about this before, not on this season, but maybe when we talked to Rob, I'm not 1,000% sure, so please correct me, but that
you're just making up things that I say now, right?
Rue often, like, I feel like there's criticism and there's also accolades given with how Rue ties in the families of the queens. And obviously there's a lot shown in media about how parents are not media, news, like, you know, nonfiction, sure, and fiction, yeah, yeah, about how parents, treat or react to their children coming out or being drag queens. And sometimes Rue like pumps people for the story, like with Kimchi. But here was like a really beautiful celebration of them having supportive parents, including like when Rue like totally fucked with them. I was like, what a shady bitch. And she was like, not one of them accepted the invitation. All of them did. But so I kind of was more in that headspace when Alaska's mom has this just like, wow, how much Alaska's mom has supported her through how much Justin has been supported by his mother through a drug issue, through all of these things. I didn't think of it the rest of the episode, though. Like maybe I wasn't reading into the edit of it.
Exactly. I kind of agree with Allie on this one. I felt like this was just something to look. We're going to have a winner in a week. And I felt like this was an opportunity for the show to show some behind the scenes stuff to make these queens a little bit more well-rounded. You know, all of us are so used to, like, you know, the thing that people always complain about Fifi was that she's a really great, nice queen if you meet her in person. And, you know, that's not who you see on the show. And people on Twitter would say, oh, she's so nice. You know, you got to get to know her. Well, this was an opportunity for us to get to know all these queens, to see other parts of their life that we don't get to see. It's like the Wizard of Oz where you pull the curtain back and you get to see the guy there. You know, I mean, like I never knew those things about Alyssa or Detox or Alaska. You know, it was great to see a few chinks in the armor, so to speak.
You pull back the curtain and Todrick Hall's there because he did do the Wizard of Oz, that visiting video with Pentatonix. Exactly. That's the true man behind the curtain or behind the lace front wig, if you will. I feel like we haven't talked too much. We talked a lot about the mothers, but I feel like we haven't talked too much about the sisters. Granted, they sort of have their own interesting relationships. Heather is sort of in a similar way with Detox as Sonia was with Roxy, in that it sounds like Heather basically raised Detox and sort of took her in when she was still trying to find herself. Tabitha and Alyssa seem to have a more strained relationship, in that Alyssa, after her mother's funeral last year, dove into her work and seemed to really essentially shut out her family for an entire 365 days almost. Allie, do you have any thoughts about either one of these brother-sister pairings?
Yeah, I mean, I like really just felt like I could relate to Alyssa and Alyssa's sister. You know, when something happens like that, a tragedy like that happens and it's still fresh a lot of times. I mean, I thought what was most interesting is when Alyssa says, I'm so close with my sister. And then we see her say, when's the last time I saw you? Oh, a year ago. You know, and it's like in Alyssa's mind, they're still so close. Nothing has changed, but time just needed to pass. And I really feel like that's can be, you know, a universal experience when you lose a parent, is that you kind of just retreat. So I really was like touched by them the whole episode. And it didn't even, I didn't even realize that, like, when she went home, and she went home on this episode. I just thought Alyssa had such a great attitude about it, and her sister being like, they did what anyone would do, which is send the best competition home. Like, I just loved their relationship. I also thought Detox and what was her name? I'm sorry.
Heather.
Not to be shady. Heather. We're a great pair, but I was just totally distracted the whole time by Alyssa.
So you wouldn't F Heather gently with a chainsaw then?
I didn't say that, but
that's a shoehorned in a pumped in Heather's reference for those of you out there that may have missed it.
Yeah, Brent, it took me like 3 seconds, and then I was like, this is one of those times on the podcast I'll let people know, is like I started to laugh because there was an uncomfortable silence there, but then as I'm laughing, it suddenly dawns on me what the joke is.
That's called the Mike Bloom effect. You confuse them and then they eventually sort of realize a joke if you were actually making one. You have unlocked, you've seen the man behind my curtain now, Brent.
Right. I look, as I'm laughing and going, ha ha ha, I'm like, oh, Heathers. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you now.
Brent, what did you think about these pairs of siblings?
I mean, they were really cool. I mean, I thought they were even more interesting than the moms in some respects, or the grandma in Roxy's case, because I thought they were a little bit more of a peer rather than a, you know, a caregiver in some ways. I mean, I know that, you know, especially with Detox's case, she sort of took care of Detox. But nevertheless, there was, you know, they're closer in age. I feel like they're a little bit more hip. And it was, you know, I think it showed in the challenge for Detox, at least, that she really enjoyed the challenge of trying to make a strong family resemblance with her sister. I think maybe the moms, given the age differences, is maybe a little bit harder. And I think that's why Detox succeeded.
Yeah. If you see online one of the bonus videos on logotv.com, we get to see a bunch of queens in rehearsal for their voguing bits. And it exactly in lines what you were just talking about, Brent, where like the mom and the grandmother pairings were sort of like, all right, I don't know how to do this, but I guess we'll sort of do what we can mobility wise, whereas Detox and his sister are touching each other all over the place. And it seems like that's something that you would not do to your mother any day, even if it was on RuPaul's Drag Race
right.
runway.
And Alyssa's sister also, like, they had a whole like routine, like, you know, you saw like with Alyssa and Detox, like they went out there and they tried to kill it. Whereas with Roxy and like the other people that had moms, like they were just like, let's just go out there and have a good time. And like, you know, at the end it was like, oh, I love you. You know, like that's how it was.
I even thought this.
I'll go ahead, Allie.
No, I even thought it a little bit, just jumping ahead with the lip sync, just like what you're willing to do in front of your mother versus what you're willing to do in front of your sister. And I mean, I don't know, Detox may just being Detox, but I thought Detox's very suggestive lip sync was nothing like Katya could ever do in front of her mother.
No, definitely yeah. not. Well, I think you have to give Alaska credit that, you know, even though she might have crashed and burned this episode, she did ask her mom to seemingly hold a horse mask in her coochie until she crawled under her and put it on. So Pam is probably like the mother of the century for just doing that alone. So let's get to the runway, speaking of which, starting off, let's talk about guest judge Aubrey Plaza here. Again, I'm not a huge follower of like which celebrities love RuPaul's Drag Race, so I'm always greatly surprised when they have guests randomly appear. Brent, what did you think about Aubrey Plaza's guest appearance? How did she compare to Graham Norton, who I know you are not a big fan of?
Who? Like, that's what when she came on, I was like, who is this bitch? Like, I don't know who she is, but she's funny. She's deadpan. I like that about her. She seemed to know a little bit about drag, which is always a prerequisite for coming to be on the judge panel on RuPaul's Drag Race. So, I mean, other than that, I was not especially taken by her, except that she had a few funny lines that made me laugh.
Allie, what'd you think?
So I'm legitimately afraid of Aubrey Plaza all the time. I love...
Who is she? For people who don't know,
Aubrey Plaza is an actress. She's most well known for her role on Parks and Recreation. She was in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. It's probably her most recent film. She's done Safety Not Guaranteed, was like a lead role that she did in an indie film. That's probably her big roles. But the way she acts on RuPaul's Drag Race, that deadpan that you just spoke of, Brent, is basically her trademark. And not to cut you off too much, Allie, but I know something that I'm always a little on edge about with Aubrey Plaza is I never know when she's kidding or not. That stuff that she says about, this is the best day of my life, I'm going to kill myself tomorrow, she never turns that switch off. And it's almost like with Alaska, we've talked about this before, we're like, you can never really tell based on tone if she's kidding or not. So that's my point of view on Aubrey Plaza. Love her, but I can't get a damn read on her if I tried.
Right, that's what it said. I looked her up on Twitter, I mean, not on Twitter, on Google, and the first headline that I came up is Future Hispanic History Month, Aubrey Plaza's Deadpan Riot. So there it is, even in the damn headline.
I believe I had a question directed to me, boys, if you, but she is a legitimate bag of nuts. Like, she's also done a lot of weird stuff, like running up on stage during award shows or like just being weird. I thought she was good, but I agree. Like, that line you highlighted, Mike, is what I was going to highlight as like, I didn't think that was fun. Like, it was funny, but it wasn't funny, like, especially given like, I mean, I don't want to take it too seriously, but especially given like the prevalence of suicide in the LGBT community.
Right.
Like,
it's RuPaul's Drag Race.
I know, but I'm sorry, but I thought that was like, it wasn't funny enough. That's kind of how I feel. Like,
I agree.
If something's
it wasn't funny
if something is, yeah, you know, shocking or offensive, it has to be the equal or more funny, and I didn't think it was.
I feel like she needed a little eyebrow raise, like at the end, where it was
maybe Anastasia Soiree could help with that,
right? Exactly. Bring that bitch back. I love her.
What helped, I think, Aubrey Plaza is that everybody laughed at all of her jokes, which is like, I think the judges panel can be like a pretty supportive community, and even just to have that laugh track really does help. So I thought she was funnier based on Rue and Michelle like giving her that feedback by laughing. Right.
And right. I will say that I think that of all the queens, like Katia probably has the closest bit personality wise to Aubrey Plaza in terms of just being an effed up hot mess. And so I was hoping, fingers crossed as a big Katia supporter, that of all the weeks of Katia to finally win a competition and win a lip sync, Aubrey Plaza being there would certainly help push her along. She got halfway there, but at least she was safe, so I can't complain too much. Let's start talking about these pairs, and let's, as we always do, we'll talk about both the voguing, which we only saw like 15 seconds of each. It was like
it was a soiree
length, if you will, of Vogue showing. But we'll probably talk more. The lion's share will be more so about the glamour look. But let's go in chronological order. Let's talk about Alyssa and Ava Edwards. Allie, what did you think about the Edwards sisters?
I mean, my notes literally say I can't objectively look at them. I'm too emotional. Like, I really was not viewing them objectively. I will say I disagreed with Michelle. I preferred their voguing look, although we only saw 2 seconds of it. I didn't love the second look from them, but I know it was, like, extremely emotional for them, so I feel like they get some family points. The sister did look gorgeous. I thought the wig was amazing and the face was amazing. So I tended to agree with the judges' comments.
Mm-hmm. Brent, I know we got a comment from Michelle this week, and it's been Alyssa's MO to put a lot on. Did you agree with her comments this episode about that? And do you think that might have been the first nail in Alyssa's coffin?
No, I think the first nail in Alyssa's coffin was Detox not doing what she was supposed to do when she won the damn lip sync.
The only nail.
Let's be honest. I mean, come on. Like, I don't think Alyssa should have been eliminated this episode. So, no, yeah. I don't think that there is any nail. There's no coffin. There's no nothing. Like, this was, I liked this. In fact, I loved it. I thought, look, you're a damn drag queen, okay? Drag is supposed to be fun and big and glitzy, and you can put lots of stuff on. Like, there was nothing about this look that I didn't like. The only thing that I would criticize from Alyssa's point of view is that I thought that the wigs were not great. I liked the sister's wig, but I hated Alyssa's wig. It didn't look like there wasn't a, quote, here it comes, a strong family resemblance there. Like, it looked like they were from two different pageants, two different universes. And, even the bodice on Alyssa's outfit, I thought was, it looked a little cheap. But other than that, I really thought she knocked it out of the park.
I agree with Allie that I actually like the voguing look better than the glamour look, because I agree with what you said, just said, Brent, that Carson said, you know, I could really see the family resemblance in this latter look, but I feel like it was too disparate. I mean, I don't think you need to look exactly alike. I think Detox does a great job of using general patterns and color patterns in order to sort of mimic a family resemblance. But I feel like things were, you know, there was the newspaper look. It was black and white and red all over, but there were two different sections of the newspaper. I thought it was a general theme, but it didn't exactly go along with the look alike as much as other people did. But I think maybe a nail in the coffin was that this was going to be a bottom three instead of a bottom two, that if you weren't in the top, you were up for elimination, because I would say Alyssa was a clear number three for me this
you
week.
Think yeah. You think? I mean, that's what, look, I mean, like, I feel like, look, the people that listen to this podcast, they want us to vent, and I feel like we're not giving them what we want, so I'm gonna give you what you want right now. Like, this bitch should not have gone home, all right? Like, I don't know, this was great on the runway. To me, it was even close to being number two. Like, I really liked what Alyssa put out on the runway. I thought the voguing look was amazing, and they did such a great job with the whole point of doing the voguing. So, I mean, look, if you're not gonna take it seriously, then why do it? It means she put so much effort into it. And I as Allie's pointed out, I love their story. So I almost couldn't accept that Alyssa was eliminated this episode. And I'm really sort of pissed off about it. And as we're talking, I find myself being more pissed off about it.
Well,
I was actually really shocked, just because I was shocked that what we feel, I feel like we've speculated a lot that the producers just want one member of Alaska Talks to cut another. And we were like so teed up for Alyssa to be safe and Alaska and Roxy to be the bottom two and Detox to win. I don't understand for the life of me why this was a bottom three.
I mean, we've talked about this a little bit beforehand. Let's remember that the Sheequals week, there was a bottom two, or there was a bottom two during the Herstory challenge, but then the Sheequals challenge, there was a bottom three. And we arguably said the same thing about Katya than we did about Alyssa here, except Katya obviously was not eliminated then. It just is, it's sort of like a larger representation of how, even though the queen, they're saying, oh, the queens are eliminating each other, that production can still sort of use some hanky-panky methods to get what they essentially want. Right. I don't know if they were exactly...
But how is this what they wanted? I don't know if they were pushing for Alyssa to be eliminated,
but this could definitely be something you could point to and say, like, well, if they wanted to have a certain outcome happen, then they need to do is say, okay, it's a bottom three this week, or, oh, it's only a bottom two this week, or, oh, you know, this queen picked this one queen, this queen picks another queen, let's go with the one that we want to eliminate. So it's another thing.
But if anything, this is, I think it's the opposite. I think it's evidence against that there's manipulation, because I can't imagine a situation where they would have wanted Alyssa to go home instead of Roxy or Alaska going home at the hands of Detox.
Why not make her?
But that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, for me, this just proves that it's like predetermined and it was going to be a bottom three and they're not manipulating it, because I can't understand a situation where this would be the desired outcome.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they thought that no matter what, objectively speaking, let's make it a bottom three, because then it makes it exciting of, oh, if you really are not on the top, then you really are up for elimination, that there is no way to stay safe. I mean, what's the big spiel that Rue gives at the beginning of every season, non-all-star season? You know, don't play it safe. Drag is not about being safe. Maybe that's a representation of that. Well, but if well, that's the one case, thing, blew well,
one, thing
hands.
One thing I have to dismiss right away is there is no such thing as, well, this is what they were going to do all along, so this is how it was going to be. Like, this is not Survivor, where everything is predetermined. Like, this is RuPaul's universe.
But then explain this. Explain how this happened.
I mean, I can't explain it other than maybe RuPaul's not that impressed by Alyssa Edwards. I mean, maybe that's it. You know, Alyssa's already been eliminated one time. Let's remember that. So, I mean,
not by Ru.
I know, but by the competition. So, I don't know. Maybe, look, I don't know what's going on, but I mean, to say that, well, I'm sure that they predetermined that they were going to do this ahead of time. No, I mean, to me, and during the one challenge where there was a bottom two, when there was the lip sync extravaganza, what was going on was everyone else was so strong that they literally could only have a bottom two, because those were the only two people who even got any negative criticisms. But then going on to the next week, it was sort of like, well, each one of you from the weakest from each pair, you're going to be in the bottom now. So, I mean, I just say it feels very weird and very like, whatever Rue's whims and whatever the whichever way the wind's blowing determines how many people are in the bottom. But it was bullshit. Let's just call it what it is.
The only thing that I can possibly think of is that if there's going to be four people going to the final episode, they've determined that, and I totally, like, I don't want to believe this, but it's the only thing that I can think of that makes sense, is that, okay, the top two are going to be, like, they almost thought that this was a way to get rid of someone strong and make it dramatic, right? Like, if you're predetermining the season and you're thinking, okay, well, the top two are going to win, let's put all final three in the bottom and let the top two, like, really take out their biggest competition in their highest hopes of the season. I don't think they could have imagined that Alaska would be, you know, in the bottom two anyway, not at least safe, or that somebody would take this opportunity and like hit Alyssa with it. I don't know. I just think that the only way that this possibly makes sense is if this was already determined.
Well, let's take,
because this could not be what they
let's
wanted.
Let's table this conversation for a second. Let's go stateside as we are still breaking down these queens on the runway here. Let's talk about Alaska and Hawaii, the 49th and 50th state. They're going to disparage Alaska, obviously, for both looks here. Brent, I'm going to ask you a bold question. Is this the worst performance we've seen from Alaska across her two seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yes, 100%. I mean, this was mailing it into a T. I mean, they called her on the runway. I love it that Michelle finally told Alaska what we've all been thinking, is that she is resting on her laurels. She's resting on pretty, as they say on RuPaul's Drag Race. So, and it wasn't even all that pretty. That's the thing. I mean, this looks so cheap. I mean, I can't even believe she thought that this was worthy of the runway. I was so not impressed. The wigs are terrible. The hats are just a throwaway to me. And it was like exactly what she did during season 5 when she had Alaska and Nebraska. And they did sort of this weird like color where it's black and white or black, but they like switched the colors or something. I mean, look, with the same straight hair, or the same straight wigs. So that's my criticism of that. I would also like to point out, this is the first time ever in the history of RuPaul's Drag Race that Alaska has been in the bottom. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's something to consider when you look at her reaction at the end. She's a brat, and I'm not especially loving that look right now. So we got things to say about that.
A lot of things to say. Allie, what did you think about Alaska and Hawaii's performance on the runway?
I mean, I do think there is something to be said, which is actually what Todrick said, of, you know, maybe it's that we have such high expectations of you. I think there's a question to be asked. Could another queen have gotten away with something like this?
Shit. No way. No way. I mean,
I'm just saying.
I disagree with Todrick. I'm not disagreeing with you, though.
It's something to consider. That said, I mean, there was nothing going on. It was only memorable because it was bad. There was nothing memorable or new or exciting about it, which is disappointing because you see, like, especially just compared to Katya and Detox, like going full on, being motivated by the opportunity to dress their sister or their mother. And it's like Alaska completely lacked any passion during this.
I completely agree.
Like, for those of you who are not wondering why we're so upset, I mean, like, I'm upset because it's just a feather boa with a hat and a straight wig and two dresses that are diametrically opposed as far as their colors go. One white, one black. I mean, that's all there is. There's nothing else to the look.
And you're not even bringing up the Vogue look, which I thought was much more egregious. I know, Allie, that you asked, like, could another queen pull this off? But I doubt any queen can pull off sending their mother down the runway in a kitten t-shirt and flip-flops and expect to do well. That just seemed to me was even more the pinnacle of laziness. It was clear that, yes, Michelle calls Alaska out on, like, oh, you just wrapped a piece of fabric around a corset and gave it to your mother. But it seems like with the voguing look, Alaska just took anything out of the trunk and just threw it on her mother. She wasn't even matching her mother. That was, again, we only saw the voguing for all of 7 seconds, but that was what I was more offended about personally.
Well, I think the judges were probably offended by it too, because even though we only had to put up with it for 2 or 3 seconds, remember that they had to watch a whole damn routine. So they were literally watching her and her mom out there with her on with flip-flops and a t-shirt on the runway for about, like, you know, 30, 45 seconds. I mean, I'm sure they were pissed about it.
I was happy to see these, like, big, like, I was going to call them bitch heels. I don't know why. That's not an expression. From Alaska, because we've been seeing her in, like, jelly sandals and kitten heels. So I was happy, if I have to say anything, to see Alaska wearing, like, real platform heels. But yeah, by contrast, to give your mother flip-flops is ridiculous.
What did you think, Allie, of the high sign that got taken out during the glamour look on the runway?
I don't understand. Like,
it's a gimmick. She always has a gimmick. Remember last week during the lip sync challenge, she had an American flag that she pulled out of her ass. Like, that's the thing that Alaska does. She does this because she thinks it's going to get her over the hump. Oh, they can't possibly put me in the bottom if I have a little gimmick. And there you go. The minute she started pulling something out, I'm like, okay, here we go. Is it an American flag this time? What is it? What is it? What is it this time?
It would be fun. Okay. It would be fun if Alaska just pulled out flags of the world every week. Here comes Kosovo.
I love a good gimmick, especially with drag, but it's got to be a good gimmick. This was not a good gimmick. The American flag didn't bother me last episode. This was, like, completely nonsensical.
And yeah, it just seemed, this came out of nowhere for me more than the American flag. At least with the American flag, she was rocking that Godspell community theater look with the American flag pants. Yeah, that I think last week was at least a little, you could lend more credit to it. This week, the prop work did not work for me. But let's talk about a pair that did work. The winning pair from this week, Detox and D-Rama, giving us, like, Carney Wilson realness during the voguing and origami fascinators during the glamour portion. Brent, what did you think about the double Ds?
Wow, I really liked everything about this look. Not only that, but the voguing I thought was great too. I mean, when they came out on the runway during the voguing, I thought, wow, that is a strong family resemblance. And then when they came out with the main challenge look, I was so impressed by the fact that Detox did not do some exact matchy-matchy thing that, like they say on Project Runway. I mean, this was something that was different, and yet I could see it. I could see the resemblance there. I knew what she was going for. I mean, look, let's this challenge to me wasn't even close. Detox was the clear winner of this challenge. I don't think Katya could have ever won this challenge. I mean, based on maybe based on the lip sync, I don't know. But if you're talking about the challenge as a whole, I think Detox was the clear winner. I, as I said a few weeks ago, I'm starting to see a little bit of a Detox winner edit. So the fact that she was safe, now she's won two challenges. Or wait, she's won one. She won one challenge or two challenges?
She's won two lip syncs. She's won three challenges total.
Okay.
Oh, no, cool. She's sorry. She's won one lip sync. She's won three challenges total. That's what I meant.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, I think there is something to be said for Detox as a possible winner. So I'll disagree with Allie on that front. But as far as this challenge just by itself goes, I thought she killed it.
Allie, do you agree or disagree with Brent that Detox was the clear front runner just in this portion of the competition or of the episode?
I totally agree. I love these looks. First of all, I thought they were the only ones with even a decent voguing. Like, I got so excited when they announced the voguing challenge, and I was, like, sorely disappointed by every single team except for Detox. Mostly because I liked that Detox used the fact that she's obviously more able to do it than the sister. And, like, when they did that move and she was on the ground and the sister was behind her, like, I thought that really was smart choreography. I loved these looks. I want these looks from head to toe, the makeup. I loved it. I loved how different it was. I loved how they looked. Like, the family resemblance was almost unfair because they look alike out of drag. Mm-hmm. But I loved exactly what Brent was saying, that they didn't wear the same thing. They didn't go obvious, like Alaska and her mom wearing the same thing, just in black and white. Like, they were completely original, beautiful looks that really complemented each other. I thought it was absolutely fabulous.
And Allie, like the beat on Detox and her sister was just...
I want both lipstick colors. I literally want everything. I would like buy, if they did a buy now, like I would just buy the whole thing.
Those Percy Jackson lightning bolt earrings as well.
Everything.
It was
yes,
so
everything.
Great, Mike. The beat was so good.
I loved it. I mean, I loved Carson's comment that their looks were Donatella Versace for the Hunger Games. The odds were ever in their favor this week. I mean, Detox has an earlier confessional about how she's like, I gotta get my head in the game. I know it's about that aforementioned family resemblance. And I think she stuck to it. And that's what you need to do for this challenge. Or if you don't, you do something like Katya and make a story out of it. So I thought she really killed it on all aspects. Did she benefit from the fact that maybe her and her sister are closer in age and closer in aesthetics, so that her sister might be able to go along with it? Sure, but she really did kill both parts of the challenge. Granted, as a Katya fan, I would have loved to see her win the lip sync, but I was happy to see Detox win the lip sync until the actual outcome happened.
Right, I'd agree with you on that.
So let's talk about Katya and Svetlana here. Now, they seem to be the only ones that really have a narrative, and Katya does seem to really have this shtick of doing narrative. I remember specifically the 2-in-1 look when she became the possessed woman with the Pentecost on her forehead. Allie, what did you think about these two Russian ladies?
I thought it was hysterical. And what I loved about Katya's whole thing is that, like, her mother looked gorgeous during the Vogue look. Like, I forgot that this was her mother. Like, she looked amazing. And then they gave a totally different thing for the runway. Like, I think my issue with Alyssa when I look back at it is the looks were too similar. They were both in dark color families. This was like, I'm going to give you one look during the lip sync, and then I'm going to transform her again during the Vogue. And then I'm going to do another transformation to comedy and, you know, fun for the runway. I loved it. I thought Katya looked gorgeous. I want that. I want everything that everyone wore this episode, but I want that dress. And I thought her mother really did steal the show, and she led her. And I think that was the whole point. It was great.
Yeah, Brent, how long until we see Pat get her own one woman show at the Laurie Beecham Theater in New York?
Boy, Pat was really killing it for me because Pat was in on the joke. Like, I felt like Pat really embraced this challenge. Like, when she's out on the runway and Katya's like, you know, come on, mom, come on. Like, you know, come on. She's like, you know, like her, just look at her facial expressions the whole time. And she's like a proud mom where she was like, you know, look at my daughter. This is my daughter, you know, like then she had like the sickle with the pail and, you know, their hair wasn't exactly similar, but it was so close. Like, texture and color wise that I saw the family resemblance there, and their makeup was great. The beat was on point.
Yeah, I think again she was like the definitive number two person this week, because again it was probably not as like drop dead in terms of look as Detox was, but this again, told a story and it made the judges really entertained, which is what drag is supposed to do. Yes, you could dress someone up just like you, but if you're not entertaining the judges at the end of the day, you're not doing your job correctly.
Well, this is Katya staying in her lane. You know, we always talk about this on other things. So she's staying in her lane. She knows what she's good at. She's good at making the judges laugh, giving a narrative, telling a story, and blowing the challenge. I mean, in a good way, I mean. So that's she's not like Detox. She can't go out there and stomp the runway in some fashion forward Donatella Versace look. That's not her, but she knows what she's good at, and she killed it because of that.
Well, let's talk about a group that might not necessarily have killed it and arguably has not been killing it that much the past couple weeks, finishing up here with Roxy and Raquel Andrews rocking like Elaine Stritch black pantsuits during their voguing. And on the runway, they are rocking all the leather and all the leopard print. Brent, what did you think about the Andrews sister, or not the Andrews family, I should say?
Yeah, exactly. I thought this was actually not terrible. In fact, I thought Alaska's was such a clear fifth that I really thought this was sort of like a 4+. I thought they did a good job. I mean, look, it's supposed to be a strong family resemblance. I could clearly see that this looked like an old Miami housewife and her daughter. That's what it looked like to me. So, you know, they have the same hair. Maybe it was a little too matchy-matchy with the leopard print on both of them and the black leather on both of them, or patent leather, whatever the hell that is. But the makeup too, they both had that same shade of foundation, which I know, I know people are like, well, of course they did. Well, no, not necessarily. Sometimes people screw it up. So I'm happy to see someone come out on the runway and do something that looks like a very good job.
Mm-hmm. Allie, Roxy talked about in the episode how she had won their challenge in season 5, which I think was the makeover of the troops one. Do you think Roxy could have possibly rested on her laurels a little bit, which led her to be in the bottom two?
I don't think so. I agree with Brent. I mean, I think everyone else just really, really performed. I thought Roxy was going to do better in this challenge, if only because this is like the one challenge where you could just turn out an amazing look for you and whoever your partner is and win. And that's what Roxy does best at. I did completely disagree with Carson, though, when he said like they needed some crazy accessory for the suits. Like, I thought, given that that's sort of the lesser look of the two, that I loved the suits. I agreed with Aubrey that like they were really sexy. They showed no skin and it was perfect for the Vogue challenge. But I just don't think they turned it up enough for the second look.
Yeah, I don't know. I might agree with Carson a little bit. The second look looked too simple to me. And I don't want, you know, what Michelle is saying about Alyssa of overdoing it with accessories. But again, I'm going to go back to Detox and D-Rama. Even something like that Fascinator made that look. And, you know, it seemed like Roxy and Raquel were a little too simplistic compared to everyone else. I also, and granted, I think this was a little bit of a bit, but it didn't exactly resonate with me too well to have, you know, Roxy and Raquel walk down the runway, then Roxy steals the show and walks across the front of the stage while Raquel kind of stands there. That,
right, I thought they were going to clock her for it, I have to say, because I've seen this on other things before. I've seen it on RuPaul's Drag Race, and I've also seen it on Dancing with the Stars, where they get really irritated when like one partner comes out and dances and the other one's just standing there. Like, they, judges don't like it, and it gives them an opportunity to clock you if you do something that's outside of the norm that the judges don't like. So I thought for sure they were going to bring it up. The fact that they didn't bring it up, I guess they were just too concerned about other aspects of the outfit to worry about that.
Yeah. And I can understand.
The only thing I'd say they may not bring it up is Roxy's grandmother is the oldest person there by far.
I mean, I can understand it. I can understand mobility concerns. I mean, let's remember in that challenge in season 5, like Jinx Monsoon had by far the oldest military vet, courtesy of Roxy, who like had HIV. So clearly they had to choreograph like a flag routine as well. But Jinx was able to make something out of it because that's what Jinx does. She's an entertainer at heart. And so she was able to produce a passable routine. Roxy, as we've talked about before, doesn't really play into that wheelhouse. I think, you know, let's look at what Katya does with an older woman versus what someone like Roxy does with an older woman. So I think it just showed that maybe Roxy is not great at that type of stuff to make up for it, which eventually leads to her ending up in this bottom three along with Alyssa and Alaska, with Katya and Detox in our top two. Did you guys see the Milk cameo this episode?
Apparently not.
So Marc Jacobs, when they said that they each won a $2,000 gift card from Marc Jacobs, the picture that they showed from Marc Jacobs was Milk taken out, sort of out of drag. Milk wasn't wearing a wig or anything. I think she's wearing a skirt. But I remember if you look at like the RuPaul's Drag Race Wikipedia page, I think there's like an image there. That's the only reason why I remember it, because I know that Milk is like across the board, probably one of the most attractive out of drag contestants in RuPaul's Drag Race history. So then that's the reason why it stuck in my head.
Did you hear what I said? You didn't. I said Anne Pearl. How can you forget about Pearl from season?
I'm not a fan of the septum piercing personally. So.
Oh really? Oh, Pearl was so cute. I can't remember. It was it Alaska who was in the audience? I think she's like, how does it feel that everybody wants to fuck you? I'm like, pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
I don't know. Allie, do you have a horse in this race?
I'm just been Google imaging Milk Marc Jacobs, and I'm reading all about it and seeing all these images of him making out with his boyfriend for an ad campaign.
Right.
It's pretty fabulous. Everyone should go check it out. I'm very distracted. Sorry.
Right when Mike said that about Jinx Monsoon, I instantly was like, okay, Jinx Monsoon did what during the family challenge? So I went like and looked it up, and I'm like, oh yeah, Jinx and Fortuna Monsoon. That's who it was. I forget now.
And speaking of sad stories, again, that was like the really sad one where the guy's like, well, you know, I can't move that well because of my hip because, you know, after the AIDS treatments, and you're like, wow, this got real extremely quickly.
Right.
So do we want to take any more time to grouse about the choice from a bottom two to a bottom three, or do we want to move on to the deliberation itself?
I mean, it's horse shit. Let's just call it what it is. But I mean, it's what Rue did. So let's, but even then I thought that the choice should be clear for a variety of reasons, but let's move ahead. Let's go.
Well, yeah. Cause let's get this deliberation is, at least to me, has been the most interesting one we've had all season, but it's probably for a negative reason, in that we saw Alaska completely melt down. It actually reminds me a little bit of The Challenge, oddly enough. I'm watching for the first time Rivals 2, where I won't spoil too much, but if you haven't seen it yet, you want to fast forward like a minute. But DM, who was a contestant on The Challenge, like almost never went into an elimination round. And I just watched this episode where she had never finished at the bottom. She had sort of social engineered her way throughout the competition. She just got called into an elimination round and she freaks the F out. She is melting down, screaming at everyone. And I felt like a very similar thing happened here with Alaska. Allie, give me your take on Alaska's behavior throughout this segment.
I mean, for me, it was very, like, I thought more about, like, Tyson or Natalie, like, when the more recent trope of when the person who's eventually going to win the season has a meltdown, like, it all could fall apart. Not that I necessarily think Alaska is the winner. But I just think I can see from Alaska's perspective, before I just totally rail on her, that she has been working so hard, been so consistent, been at the top, met expectations, exceeded expectations. And then right now, right before the end, right before the finish line, she could and deserves to be, just based on this critique, chopped. And I could just see that being a complete meltdown moment. Now, the way that she handled it publicly was horrific. When she starts saying, like, I'm sorry I won so much, it sucks, like, oh, fuck you. Like, that was, so disgusted by that. And honestly, by the end of this episode, between Detox's move and Alaska's behavior, I'm completely team Katya. And I really do think that this is leading up to the coronation of Katya as the winner.
And we'll definitely talk about that. Bren, what did you think about Alaska's big meltdown over the course of these 7 or so minutes?
This just reminded me of other people in reality. And I go back, you know, Mike, you were talking about The Challenge. I was thinking about Big Brother this past season, where Polly was in control of the house for so long. And all of a sudden you lose power and now you're in the bottom. And how do you behave when you're in the bottom? Some people know how to smooth it over and get back in the game. Other people just totally melt down and lose it. You know, Alaska has never been in the bottom. She never, ever had to lip sync for her life during season 5. Okay. Mm-hmm. Never, ever once. And then go to this season. She's been killing it. And then all of a sudden she lands in the bottom and there's an opportunity for her to get eliminated. Not only that, she was clearly number 5 out of 5. Her critiques were the worst out of anybody and she should have been chopped. Not only that, but she's also your toughest competition. So you have the opportunity to do exactly what you need to do here. Alaska's your toughest competition. Beyond that, she did the absolute worst during the challenge. How can you not eliminate her here?
Do you actually think she should have been chopped?
Huh?
Like, I'm just curious. Do you actually think she should have been the one shot?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, this challenge wasn't even close. Look, what are they judging? Are they judging based on, are they doing what they said at the beginning? Are they judging based on the results of the challenge? Because if that's what they're doing, then it isn't even close. Beyond that, from a strategic point of view, it also happens that the person who did the worst in this challenge is also the person who is probably going to win $100,000 and take it out of your pocket. So yeah, how can you not eliminate her?
I think it is weird because, again, if you're going to the two pieces of criteria that queens have used in previous episodes, which was to either eliminate the one who did the worst that week or eliminate someone who might be a bigger threat, even though they'll use the whole fire in your eyes excuse. I feel like Alaska's performance kind of checked both boxes this week. So I could totally see this as a way to sort of, I mean, I think when I was watching this in real time, this is when I thought, okay, AJ is going to be truly the prophet here. And I'm not talking about the man who guested on last week's episode that Ali loves so much. But I think that, you know, this was definitely spelling Alaska's doom a little bit, which surprised me even more when she ends up being safe in the end. I could definitely understand her frustration, you know, with her throwing off the shoes. I mean, I think it was a very forbearing words when she talked to her mother before about how, you know, when she was a baby, she didn't cry, but, you know, she still complains when she doesn't get what she wants. She complained when she didn't get what she wanted. She was throwing her shoes. She took her wig off. She was clearly very distraught. I'm still trying to figure out whether the line about I will put $10,000 in your PayPal account. Do you think she was kidding or do you think
I don't understand. She kept saying like, I need to be at the end of the show. I have to be at the end. She was insisting that she has to be there. And I'm like, why? Like, are you going to die if you don't get to the end of RuPaul's best friend race or something? Like, I mean, what the hell, man? I didn't understand that. And if she did offer that, I bet she better have put $10,000 in Detox's account because, boy, she deserves it.
Allie, do you think she was being facetious when she said that?
I don't know. That was so bizarre. I did laugh when she said it. I hope it was a little bit of a joke. She was very desperate. But the one thing is, I don't want the Alaska meltdown to completely overshadow the amazing moment that was Alyssa calling Roxy over to basically be like, I think it should be you. You've been in the bottom 100 out of 101 challenges. Like, you suck. And don't you think that's fair?
Yeah, which
that was incredible.
Brent, which is worse, Alyssa doing that or Joe telling Dan in Big Brother 14 that they should try to target Dan in the middle of the bedroom?
I think probably by the way, did you see that Joe is on some like food challenge show Top Chef thingy? Oh, right now.
God, I hope
did
they
you,
have
did
a,
you
I
see ho- that
no I hope they have a good mixing board to bring down his
volume. Somebody on Twitter sent me a picture like he's on some show right now as a chef, and I'm like, oh, of course he is. Anyway, so what was the question? Sorry,
I was just
Joe.
Making a joke about whether that was worse than what Alyssa did to Roxy.
Oh, well, look, I mean, like, look, I mean, people can throw shade, but Alyssa was keeping it real here. Okay, she wasn't throwing shade at all. She was keeping it real. She brought her over. Like, so she said, look, I'm not going to talk behind your back. I'm going to say it straight to your face. Girl, you dropped the ball again. Like, this is like what, you know, what'd you say? 100 out of 100 challenges. You've been at the bottom and it's your turn to go home. And obviously it should be you. And, you know, to be fair, Roxy didn't exactly fight her on that. I mean, at first she said, well, I don't think I was really in the bottom. And then Alyssa was like, well, you know, Rue said, if you're not in the top, then you are in the bottom. And she was like, well, yeah, you're kind of right. So if you weren't going to take the opportunity to eliminate Alaska, who I thought clearly should have been eliminated for a variety of reasons, then you clearly should have taken the opportunity to eliminate Roxy. But Detox, in my mind, was never going to eliminate Roxy. In fact, when she won the lip sync, my only question was, is it Alyssa or is it Alaska? Because I knew she was never going to eliminate Roxy. She's been best friends with her for 13 years. There's no way it's going to happen. Literally, they could be the final three and she's not going to eliminate her.
Is there no argument to be made that, like, Roxy did this to Coco? That, like, it would be completely hypocritical for her to get angry when she didn't expect Coco Matrice to get angry at her?
I mean, I don't think that Roxy would have gotten angry. I just think that Detox is unwilling to take the chop. I mean, she's unwilling to chop her best friend here. So, and by the way, Roxy and Coco's relationship is distinctly different from Detox and Roxy's relationship. Roxy and Detox worked together for many, many years before they came on RuPaul's Drag Race. Roxy and Coco basically met on the show and have only like tangentially met in a few pageants before the show. So, I mean, there's as far as the relationship goes, there's not much comparison there. I mean, I take your point about how she should have acted. But that being said, I thought that Roxy composed herself very well. I mean, she didn't. I mean, to me, again, like just like last week, she didn't really fight it here, yeah. Which is another reason why I thought maybe she should have been eliminated, because it didn't seem like there was much fire in her eyes. Like she was just sort of willing to accept being eliminated.
Yeah, I do wonder. Katya is definitely the wild card in the situation. She even admits to it. And I guess we'll see next week who she would have chosen to eliminate. I know she said she was going to eliminate Roxy last week. I do wonder who she would have chosen. I do not think she would have sent Alyssa home. So I wonder who she would have picked out of Roxy and Alaska. I do want to point out a fantastic callback that happened in this segment when Alaska talked to Katya about how, as you talked about before, Brent, I need to get to the end of this competition. And Katya just says, party. It's not only an Adore Delano reference. It's a great callback to the beginning of the episode when Alaska throws shade at Katya's lip sync look, calling her Adore Delano. So I thought it was just sort of a great little snip back at her for making fun of her look a day ago.
The thing that I think a lot of fans are having a problem with, at least I know I am, is that Alaska has been sitting on high for so long. And, you know, just last week, you know, judging these queens like, well, you know, I'm sorry I'm winning so much. It's really tough being me, you know, how she talks. And it's just like, well, I don't understand why she's so like bent out of shape about having to get to the end. Bitch, you've already won like $30,000, $40,000. I mean, take your money and go. I don't understand what's the point of just making it one more episode. I mean, yeah, I suppose there's, I mean, like I know people on Twitter are going to scream at me. There's $100,000 at the end, but it seemed like it was beyond that. Like it wasn't about the money so much. It was just about, I need to get to the end of this and I have to win. You know, I think we've seen people on some reality shows in the past that they don't give a shit about the money. They just want to win the game. That's all they care about. They care about the game so much. And maybe Alaska's kind of like that.
Do you think Alaska would offer money to the winner of the competition to buy the title of America's Next Track Superstar? The game is flawed.
Well, this game was flawed. Look, if you guys don't know, if RuPaul doesn't know after this elimination, which totally sucked, that this game is flawed the way that they're currently playing it, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, like, I really hope that when RuPaul's Drag Race comes back for season 9, that it's RuPaul making the decisions again, because I can't stand this. I really can't. I think it was a good try. They tried it. They failed. Let's just call it what it is. They failed. And I hate this. It's not fun. And I'm not even enjoying the eliminations anymore. And I used to love them. Like me and my partner would sit down and we would watch the lip sync together to see which queen was going to make it into next week. You know, now it's not even an event even more. A lot of times I feel like the queen is going to be eliminated has already been decided before the lip sync is already done. Like they both picked the same person. So who even cares who wins the lip sync at that point? Like, I mean, are you guys with me on this or not?
I think it's gotten interesting in the past couple of weeks, because we saw the times we've seen deviation. We saw it with the first interesting decision, which was when Ginger was sent home over Katya. There was a split decision there. Last week was an interesting outcome as well with Tatiana versus Roxy. Granted, I'm using the term interesting does not necessarily mean positive.
Yeah.
I think Fifi and arguably Coco were the only two eliminations where I was like, okay, I accept this. I'm ready to move on. So I think the trouble is, it's tough to parse this out for me from the actual outcomes themselves. It's a lot of like results oriented viewing where you're like, well, this twist didn't work because these outcomes happened. To me, it's tough to sort of figure out whether this worked or not because the things that we're getting out of it are not good.
Yeah, I think this is like where our boss, Rob, would say, like, I don't think that the juice is worth the squeeze. Like, I mean, I know we've gotten a few fun moments that have been throughout the season, but we've gotten so many bad moments and so much boring television that I don't think that it's really worth it. But that's my take on it.
Yeah, Allie, what do you think?
I'm very results oriented. So if I see Alaska talks and Katya as the final four here, which is, especially with one person who's extremely undeserving to be there, it just shows that this did not work. And it would have been one thing if we saw like this kind of alliance form during the season, but we didn't even get the benefit of like seeing the alliance form be tested and prevail. Like it was just, they came in friends and now they can't eliminate each other.
I agree.
Like, that to me is not interesting.
If behind the scenes during their interviews, Detox was saying, look, I'm secretly working with Alaska and Roxy. I'm going to keep them in as long as I can. We're going to go to the finals and that's just how it's going to be. And she totally pulled it over on all of these queens. Like, I would be living for this season, but that's not what we're getting. It's just a bunch of hodgepodge of various reasons why people should be eliminated. I feel like it's the first season of Survivor where it's like, well, do you deserve to be here? Well, I sort of do, but she maybe doesn't deserve it. Like, I don't care about who deserves it. I care about what I want. And that's the reason why I'm liking this season of Big Brother, a Big Brother Over the Top, is because I'm getting what I want out of Big Brother Over the Top because we get the chance to vote. Whereas on RuPaul's Drag Race, we're not getting what we want because these queens won't give it to us.
Yeah. And I think even outside of like the Survivor season one, it's very similar to like when you see Jeff Probst talk to a clear alliance at Tribal Council and he's like, OK, so there's an alliance going on here. Right. And you can see them be really cagey and really try to deny it and really try to come up with reasons why they're systematically getting rid of people that are outside of the alliance because they don't want to blow up their game too much. That's what the queens seem to be doing here. Like you said, they're refusing to admit that there are bonds going on. They refuse to admit that they're trying to play things strategically. I think we've talked before in previous podcasts about how that's a result of having seen firsthand what social media can do to queens when they turn on you and when people don't like exactly how you're playing the game. So they're very fearful of that. But as a result, it sucks. I mean, I'm pulling on like my Brian Lynch hat here. Let's remember when he was really complaining about certain Big Brother players using things like the diary room, which are supposed to function as our window into their true selves to play a character. And that's sort of what the queens are doing here, in my opinion. They're being very cagey. They seem to be really avoiding their true intentions because they're very worried about what their careers are going to be after this. And I think it's a sad side effect, in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree with that to a certain extent, but I don't think that they're refusing to play strategic or refusing to admit that they're playing strategically. I think they're refusing to play strategically. I think we did get a very honest reaction from Detox, which is I just can't eliminate Roxy. Like I can't eliminate my friend. She's not saying like some bullshit that Alyssa deserves to go home. Like almost what Alaska tried to do, which is like, you know, I don't know that I want somebody who I could say somebody who's already been sent home should advance, which is bullshit. But at least Detox is saying here, like, I am not playing strategically. This is not right. But Roxy is my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give her that. Yeah. I follow a lot of politics and Sean Hannity he recently said like about a month ago, you know, I'm not a journalist. I have an opinion and I want Donald Trump to win. So I can respect that. At least you came out and told me that you're not being fair. You know, I like that at least you told us you have a rooting interest. You want this to happen and that's what's going to happen. So again, with Detox, she's like, look, Roxy's my friend. There's no way in the world. I don't care what you guys say. I don't care what the challenge is. I love her. I'm rooting for her. I am not going to eliminate her. Like, I wasn't bothered by that at all. I think some people were, but I wasn't. I was more bothered by the fact that it seemed like Alaska was such a brat, and then they didn't eliminate her. That's what I was bothered by.
I think Detox just had like a sudden chill without even realizing that she was being compared to Sean Hannity. I don't think she's ever experienced that comparison in her life. Let's talk briefly about the lip sync here to Rue's own song, Step It Up. We got a question from our guest of last week, AJ Mass, asking if we had any thoughts to the possibility that Katya might have thrown the lip sync to avoid having to eliminate somebody. Well, I think we talked about this idea at the very beginning of the podcast, but Allie, what do you think about this idea? And do you think Katya could have possibly done that this week?
I think there's no chance. I don't understand what incentive Katya of the two queens left or the two queens in the top would have had to not want to take a shot at whoever's lip sync she chose. I think Katya wants more than anything to win one of these damn lip syncs and she just can't seem to do it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I mean, not only is there $10,000 on the line, but you've got to think that Katya knows that the only chance that she has to win at the end if she has a win under her belt going into the final. And now she doesn't. She doesn't have a win under her belt. She did not win any of the lip syncs going into the finale. So now she's got to try to win the whole thing, having never won anything all season long. That's possible at this point. I'm dubious whether or not it can happen.
Yeah, and especially if it ends with a big lip sync, which from what I remember, didn't the first All-Star season also end with like a giant lip sync and then Rue made a decision immediately from there?
Yeah, and just so people know what's going on, we're not going to get the normal, I mean, and we may get a reunion, but I don't know. We don't know if we are or not. The one thing I can tell you is that the winner's going to be revealed next week. They've already shot 3 or 4 different endings for it. I don't know if they eliminated somebody and then they shot maybe 3 endings for it, but that's how it's going to be. So Rue's already shot the endings, and maybe Rue is still making up her mind. So that is also a possibility.
So
she did say for people to vote, right?
Right,
so that's
she did,
still
exactly.
On the table.
And then we'll talk about how, you know, that helped a similar situation to what we currently have in a previous season. But just finishing up the lip sync really quickly, did you guys have any opinions about it? I thought it was like a fairly middling one overall. I think Katya brought the attitude, but even she admits that she didn't know all the words, and she thinks that not purposely, but she tanked it, and that Detox totally deserved the win. And I could even see that. I wasn't a huge fan of, you know, Detox basically just shaking her ass and her mouth the entire time, but if she knew the words and Katya didn't, I guess she deserves the win.
Yeah, I guess so.
How do you not know the song when it's Rue's song? But beyond that, one thing I just want to complain about for a change is, and I know I've said this almost every time I've been on the show, I really definitively hate the outfit change before the lip sync.
I don't even know why she did it. Why did she do it?
I know I should like it just because it's a new look and I like getting more looks than less, but it's almost like that's not what the lip sync is about. And I want, if you're going to have a gimmick, like it's funny, I was going to talk about Alaska's American flag thing from last episode. If you're going to have a gimmick, I want it to be thought out, built in to your runway look so that you've like thought about it ahead of time. Even when Alaska like had the scissors and cut her latex outfit, like I want you to come prepared to the runway as though you're going to win or lose when it was like lip sync for your life, and work that in and add that sense of discomfort to reward the gimmick. When Detox changes into a new wig, a new look, and then does that reveal of her ass, like I'm not impressed because it wasn't like it was there the whole time.
Yeah. I agree. I don't understand why she changed in the first place. I hated her new look. I liked her old look with all the wonderful colors on it that she had for the family resemblance challenge, and she could move fine in it. So I don't know why she decided to change it unless, like you say, she just wanted to have a gimmick, but the gimmick wasn't all that impressive. On the other hand, Katya didn't know the words, so obviously that's why Detox won.
Yeah, and maybe Detox was so taken by Carson's comment about it being Donatella Versace at the Hunger Games that she rocked her own like Effie Trinket-esque wig and she needed something else to match it. But Detox wins. She chooses to eliminate Alyssa Edwards. Rue, at least, looks shocked. Everyone else, it seems like a very mixed response, a very negative response on Twitter. We've talked about it specifically related to Alaska's meltdown, but Allie, any other thoughts about the elimination of Alyssa above Roxy and Alaska?
I mean, it was just bullshit. I don't agree that Alaska... I think there would have been a great case to make for Alaska to go home, and Brent's made it. I do think, forget the competitive aspect that you just want to take a shot at your biggest competitor, there was no reason not to eliminate Roxy. Like, you could say, I want to eliminate Alaska. She really bombed. She had the worst critiques. But if you're using Alyssa's consistency argument, she deserves to get one pass. Especially Katya got a pass, you know. Alyssa, you could say, okay, she's been gone for a week or so. She was already eliminated. Fine. But she's been performing really well, especially this week. Roxy, there is no... okay, she should stay because X, Y, and Z. Like, she didn't get great critiques. She didn't do well, particularly well this episode. She's been in the bottom, hanging on for dear life for the last 2-3 weeks. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense why she was not eliminated.
The other thing to keep in mind is that this was a fashion challenge. I mean, this was all about the runway, okay? And that's where Roxy excels. So the fact that she did not get into the top 2 of this challenge, I think really is an indictment on her talent.
And I know we've talked about this in previous weeks. I actually don't know, Allie, if you've actually been on the podcast whenever I've made this challenge comparison to the idea that Roxy may be a layup, in that she might be someone that people are thinking they could easily take to the end so that I at least beat out one other person. And granted, again, Detox is going to bring her friendship much into this, but do you think there is a certain mentality that's now going around to some of these queens that, oh, Roxy's now been in the bottom 5 times, we could bring her to the finale and easily beat her to get one step further?
It is possible, right? She's never going to win. Roxy is not the winner of the season. More definitively than Detox is not the winner of the season. I think we can all agree on that. But it's almost like when Detox didn't pull the trigger on this, my reaction was just like, well, there goes Detox. Like, I've lost respect for Alaska last week. I've lost respect for Detox now. Like, to take the low-hanging fruit of Tatiana and Alaska and Alyssa is not that your heart's not in this competition then. Like, you're not here for the competition, whether it be to get the best queens to the end or to get out your worst competition. Like, they've just taken the middle of the road. Let's pick the girl out who's not our friend. And I don't have respect for that kind of play.
Brent, we saw these two queens, Tatiana and Alyssa, come back two episodes ago. They are promptly the next two eliminated. Again, looking at results-oriented viewing here, would you call the Revenge of the Queens a failure from that aspect?
Obviously it was. I mean, I think I can't remember who was on Twitter that tweeted me and said, so basically they brought back two queens only to just eliminate them back to back. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And, you know, when the contestants are the ones picking who gets to go home every week, that's what's going to happen, because they feel like, well, we already eliminated these people. Why did they don't deserve to be here? You know, the one thing that Detox couldn't say that Alaska said last week is, well, you know, Tatiana missed a couple weeks. Well, Alyssa Edwards did not miss anything. She was eliminated. She literally walked out the door and walked right back in like 2 seconds later. I mean, she was never gone from the competition. She didn't miss any challenges. She didn't miss anything. So you couldn't even use that as an opportunity to eliminate Alyssa. I was so not impressed with this elimination. It was just like, the thing is that the queens think that we want them to be nice. And I don't want them to be nice. I want them to own it. I want them to own it, and they won't own it. I wanted her to own it and eliminate Alaska from the competition. Or I wanted her to say, you know what? I'm making an honest call here. I'm eliminating Roxy from the competition because I feel like she's been doing the worst, and she landed in the bottom again. But it was just sort of a wah-wah mishmash of, well, I guess I'm going to eliminate Alyssa because she's the only one left.
Yeah, exactly.
I arguably think it's not nice to do what they're doing, right? Like, it's like that same Mean Girls type clique. Alaska's most recent tweet is something really funny about that. But it's like, it's not nice to just like stick to your friends and not give a shit about performance in the competition.
So
the other thing, opinion.
Yeah, the other thing too is that I mean, not only have they been acting like that the entire time, but I had a point here that I wanted to say. Like, I can't remember what it was, but they won't give us what we want because they think that they're going to get so much flack on social media from acting in a negative way. But by them trying to pretend like they're not acting like it, or maybe as Ali says, not even trying to play the game, then it gives us this sort of grab bag of feelings that we don't really know. I'm not impressed by this at all. This is not fun for me.
Yeah, the drag fan community might be fine with them, you know, might not be hating on them specifically for that, but I feel like the general reality TV fandom is hating on them in general. It's just interesting to be like, I don't want to make waves. I'm going to make this decision. And let's, you know, been tracking how Fifi O'Hara, one of the reasons why she wanted to stop, she didn't go to the reunion and had that public meltdown, was because people were harassing her after the decision she made. People were trashing Roxy for some reason, even though she didn't make the decision last week to send Tatiana home. I know people were trashing Alaska and Detox this week for making the decision. So it's really funny. It's sort of like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you're going to get harassed on social media for your decisions, you might as well then sort of embrace that bitchy personality and send the person home that you really want to.
Yeah, I was reading Detox's Twitter, and she basically is flipping off people who are like mad at her for what she did. So I'm like, well, at least she's owning it.
So let's honor Alyssa Edwards here in her, I guess, I don't know if I want to call this like Alyssa Edwards 3.0 or 2.0. But, you know, looking back at the way I thought about her in her season 5 performance in our preview show compared to now, I have made a complete 180 and then some, if that makes any sense mathematically. I, like Ali, am totally in the Alyssa Edwards fan club. I now get the shtick. Could it be too much of a shtick sometimes? Absolutely. But I love the fact that she's not in on the joke. I love the really weird catchphrases. I love the energy, the go-go drink, that, you know, the amount of Viv and Verm that she gets provided with. It sucks that she didn't make the finale, considering that I would call her one of the biggest characters of the season, bar none. That just might be who she is. But she had the most impact on the narrative overall. But, you know, I'm sure, I think next week we can definitely talk about, you know, which queens has the arrow pointing up and arrows pointing down in terms of reputation from being on this season. Alyssa Edwards has a firm arrow pointed up from my perspective. Ali, what do you think?
I mean, you know, I agree. I also think in addition to everything that you said, which I totally agree with, I think she also, like, I respect how she played the game. I respect how she cut Ginger instead of Katya. I respect how she thought about consistency. And while there's something to be said for getting rid of, you know, the weakest person, I do think I like that she picked a stronger queen to stay. And I think she should have stayed both times that she was eliminated. And I like that she is not afraid to tell the queen to their face that they should go home. Mm-hmm. And I think she came off really great, both personally and as a character. She was a great performer, and I am completely turned around on her.
All right, Brent, you made Alyssa your winner pick, a little bit controversial at the time. What did you think about her overall performance on these 7 episodes of All Stars Drag Race 2?
I mean, is there nothing but, she's nothing but a breath of fresh air. I mean, she's just so light and so fun, and she doesn't take anything too seriously. She doesn't get too upset. When she does get emotional, it's more behind the scenes or in a sweet moment, you know, with her sister. I mean, I really love what I saw from Alyssa this season, more so than even on season 5. I mean, on season 5, she was a little bit of a joke. And this season, I feel like I really love the drag that she's been putting out, and she's really funny on top of it. And again, you watch her on Twitter, you watch her on Instagram. She totally is in on the joke. She gets it. She gets why, the whole thing that she does, you know, I mean, I love Alyssa Edwards, and I think she's going to have many, many more fans than she had on season 5 after mm-hmm. this season, because, I mean, how can you not love her?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's interesting to watch her handling her exit in these last few minutes compared to what we saw Alaska do about 10 minutes ago in Showtime, to see her be so graceful. And now, unlike her first elimination, she's not doing the borderline BS. Well, I'm the true winner for, you know, getting to go through this. She seemed very graceful. She got to reference her fourth runner up line again.
I
and
love
she seemed
that.
Like she was very at peace with her performance, which, again, is super nice to see after seeing someone throw a hissy fit at the possibility of being eliminated 10 minutes ago, which brings us, guys, to our final four as we approach the finale. Tell me if you heard about this before, guys, this situation. There's a trio called Relaska Talks in the final four, and then there's this one kind of quirky underdog comedy queen who is sort of in there as a fourth wheel, if you will, to this tricycle. Who knows what's going to happen? Brent, we've been asked about this. What do you think the chances are, from both an editing and a logistics perspective, that history will repeat itself and the underdog, the odd duck, will topple Relaska Talks once again?
Well, I feel like it's going to repeat itself because I feel like Katya is the only one who hasn't been like inundated with the stank of this season. You know, I mean, like Katya is the only one who is not who the fans aren't mad at. Fans are mad at Detox because she didn't eliminate Roxy. Obviously, the fans are mad at Alaska because how she acted on the last episode and her general sense of entitlement. The fans are mad at Roxy because she should have been eliminated like 4 seasons ago. So Katya is the only one that is the rightful winner of the season. I think that's how the fans are going to see it. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that Detox has made a great effort. And as much as I'm hating on Alaska for this episode, I think she has done really, really great work up until now. So she's also a possible winner. Obviously, I agree with Allie. Roxy's the only person who cannot win going into the finale episode. I will also say, and I will admit this now, that I don't know if you guys know this, but that there was a little bit of a spoiler that got leaked. Actually, not a little bit, a big spoiler that got leaked. And I didn't see it up until about 2 weeks ago, so I'm really thankful that I got to experience the show up until now. But it said that these 4 queens were going to be at the end. Hmm. And now that spoiler was proven correct. So it's so funny because my anger at this episode would probably even be more than what it is, except that I kind of knew going into this episode that Alyssa, if the spoilers hold true, that Alyssa is probably going to be the one who's eliminated, and it's going to be Relaska Talks with Katya in the final 4. So, I mean, at least I'm thankful for that, but
you think besides that, spoiled?
Right, exactly. If I hadn't been spoiled, I think that I would probably just not even come on the podcast. I would be suing.
You would take the veil and a vow of silence?
Oh my God, the veil would be out. I would be so mad, exactly. But I knew it was coming, so that's what I kind of buried my face in. As far as going into this finale, I mean, it's going to depend on how much RuPaul is listening to the fans, because I feel like the fans are going to overwhelmingly, now that Alyssa's out of the competition, I feel like the fans are going to overwhelmingly say, we want Katya to be the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2. And is RuPaul going to give the fans what they want? She usually does.
Yeah, Allie, I was about to ask about that, because I think you can argue in the season 5 finale that, again, I wasn't around at the time, but what seems to be part of the history was that due to this tweet, Team Roxy, Team Alaska, Team Jinx out, the overwhelming support from Jinx's edit might have allowed Rue to switch her decision and choose to crown Jinx over someone like Alaska, who was a front runner throughout. Do you think a similar type of situation through social media could happen this time that could lead to a Katya win?
I mean, it's tough because I don't feel like, I feel like Alaska's performance this season has been almost more dominant than, I mean, maybe Bianca Del Rio and Bob are up there. They come to mind, but I feel like this season was like completely dominated by Alaska from just the beginning, like the chatter to like the actual show until now. And I think this was a really, really bad couple of episodes for Alaska, and America is fickle, you know, like I'm Alaska's biggest fan and I'm pretty sick of her from the last two episodes. So if America's anything like me, they've moved into Team Katya. Yeah. We'll see how next episode goes. But
I mean, I would say that I would put Alaska on, like, if we're going with like Mount Rushmore of most dominant Drag Race performances, you have to put her up there. I think, yeah, maybe second only to like Bianca Del Rio, who I don't think ever even finished in the bottom, and not even like lip sync, but like in never received like negative critiques on the runway whatsoever in her season. I know Bob had a lip sync, so that might be a besmirch on her record, but I'd be intrigued to hear from you guys. Call your shot here. I want you to each individually give your own power rankings of who you think is going to win with the final four, even though I think Roxy is going to not be on the podium for any of us. But Brent, give me your power rankings for this top four of the season.
Wow. Oh boy, it's tough, because this episode really changed how I viewed Alaska. I said in the beginning, I don't know if this is, you know, Rue, because Rue left. Look, Rue and the producers, one of the producers, they didn't have to show us all that behind the scenes stuff with Alaska. They didn't have to show us Alaska promising somebody $10,000 if they would take her forward in the competition. They didn't have to show her acting like a brat. They didn't have to show Detox responding to Alaska acting like a brat. So given that, I don't, as I said in the beginning, I don't understand if this is something where Rue wants Alaska to be the winner, but you have to have a little bit of doubt about whether or not she's going to be. Otherwise, it would be a foregone conclusion. Or given that she's wanting fans to vote and she has to know how fans are going to react to the editing of this episode, that she wants maybe somebody else to be the winner of the episode and she wants a reason to not give it to Alaska.
Mm-hmm. So are you going to settle upon any sort of ranking, or are you still deliberating between the two editing methods?
I mean, I'm going to have to say that Rue is, like, I often say this on TV, like, they're telling us what they want us to think. So I'm feeling like they want us to think that Alaska's not the winner because she acted like such a brat and they don't want us to like her. Otherwise, they wouldn't have showed it to us. So I'm going to put Katya at 1, Detox at 2, Alaska at 3, and Roxy at a clear number 4.
All right, Allie, what about you?
I'm going to go the other way, and I was going to before Brent
Roxy
said
number
that, so
one
glad.
For Allie.
I do think they're showing. I'm thinking they're showing it to us to make us think that there's just another possibility, especially given how obvious the winner of last season was. I'm going to say Alaska, Katya, Detox, and then Roxy at rock's bottom.
I love that.
Well, the other thing too to consider is that, you know, going back to season 5, I mean, if it wasn't Jinx Monsoon, like I said, when we did the preview podcast, a lot of people thought it should have been Alaska. I mean, she was right there. I mean, it was that close, and she was heartbroken when she did not win. So if Rue is going to give it to her this time, then I think that's definitely a part of the reason.
Yeah, I might split the difference between you two, because I could see the positive edit for Detox coming, but I feel like that would totally be the edit for her to like finish in third. It's one spot better than what she did previously. So she could say like, I was dealing with a lot of stuff last time. I'm proud of myself now. I did better than I initially did.
Oh,
so,
yeah, she's going to say that.
Who knows?
I'm really happy with third place.
So I got to stick with my winner pick here. So I'm going to go Katya 1, Alaska 2, you know, forever a runner up, Detox 3, Roxy Four. So we've all called our shots here. Let's see what happens next week for the star-studded finale of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2.
I want Alaska to be the Amanda... what's her last name from Survivor?
Kimmel.
Huh?
Amanda Kimmel.
Amanda Kimmel? Oh, yeah. Alaska's going to be the Amanda Kimmel where she ends up runner-up back-to-back. That would be glorious.
Or the Russell Hands. We made the comparison beforehand. So we'll see, I guess, based on the reaction, whether she turns out to be one of those. We would love to hear from you all out there about your thoughts on this episode, the elimination, and who you think, based on everything under the sun, has a good chance of winning the finale next week. You have a bunch of ways to reach out to us. You can always leave us a comment on Rob Has a Website. You can also subscribe to our feed on iTunes. Search for RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 or one of our names to get access to our RuPaul's Drag Race only feed. And while you're there, leave us a review, please. We love to hear from you guys. But make sure you're also locked into reality TV wrap-ups as well. If you want to listen to more of Brent, he just mentioned Big Brother Over the Top. That's going in full force, and the reality TV Happy Hour is there to give multiple recaps of the season as well as Australian Survivor as well. So much going on in the reality TV sphere. We are sad to be bidding adieu to another show next week, but it's just part of the fantastic pantheon of reality TV we have. You can reach out to us on Twitter. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Allie is at Lash Tweets. I am at A Mike Bloom Type. To finish things off, do we have a hashtag for everyone who made it to the end of this lengthy podcast?
I don't know. Do we have anything fun, Allie?
We could go rock bottom, only because I got that from you, Mike, but I couldn't get any when you said rock bottom at the beginning of the episode, and I held on to that joke until the end.
I got the assist. All right, I'll credit myself with the assist there for the fantasy leagues that are tracking the podcast.
That's ROX bottom.
So should we go with X with the triple X though? As in the Roxy?
Yeah, you
name?
Have to do triple X.
ROXX bottom. Thank you all. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Brent, for another great podcast. We'll be back next week to recap the finale. Hashtag rocks bottom. For now, sashay away. Bye.